Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams of John Wilkerson. And as we are fortunate to share one Saturday to the next, we have Vol Network Classics. And this week, it is the 2006 win for Tennessee against Georgia. You heard Eric Ainge catch up with his center, Josh McNeil, on today's program to talk about that. And we certainly wanted to share in the memories, as we have our good friend, Vol for Life, David Ligon, not only a Saturday Sports Talk alum, but also high school football alum with Sports Radio WNML. And he joins us now on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. David, always great to catch up with you. How are you?
I'm doing great, John. I hope you and Jimmy are doing well, too.
Yes, sir. Big yes. Thumbs up. And, of course, you've got such a growing family. I'm just wondering, everybody safe and sound through all this, whether it be East Tennessee, West Tennessee, even Rob Damastis?
Yes. Yeah, no, I think everybody's doing really well, considering, and hope everyone out there listening is, making it through and, looking forward to getting life back on track soon.
Well, glad to hear that, and certainly echo your sentiment. And for those that don't know, Rob is David's brother-in-law. But when we talk about the game,
I try to keep that on the down low.
and I think we all know why.
Right.
When it comes to that Tennessee-Georgia game, you go back to the 2006 season. What was going through your mind? Where did Georgia rank, first of all, when it came to those teams that you looked forward to? You kind of circled on the schedule. Where did the Bulldogs rank in terms of those you couldn't wait to square off against?
Oh, wow. Yeah, they were right up there at the top with the Floridas and the Alabamas. Obviously Florida and Georgia being East rivals that you had to get through if you wanted to go to Atlanta. But particularly just on the team in general, we had a lot of guys from the state of Georgia. And boy, they were so pumped up every year to play them, and it was a, back then, Georgia was, I guess really you'd say was the team to beat up until really that 2006 season. They had won the SEC championship in 2002 and 2005. Mark Richt really was at the pinnacle of his run there.
David, that was a game that Georgia jumped out to a 24-7 lead. Can you recall the mindset of the Tennessee team at that point?
Oh, absolutely. I remember exactly where I was when they went up 24-7. They had, I guess it was 17-7, and they had gotten the ball back, and it was like under – it was just a couple minutes to go in the half. And I remember, Tereshinsky had this real big – I think it was a pass play to the fullback of all people on – I can remember thinking, are you kidding me? The fullback just made this big play in our defense. And then I may have been just a couple plays later. I think it was that same fullback scores. And, they go up 24-7. And I can remember sitting on the bench thinking, are you kidding me? And it really, what it reminded me of a little bit was the 2003 game. If you remember, we had, kind of a bad handoff there, getting ready to score right before the half. And they returned it for a touchdown. And then Georgia runs away with the game. And I remember sitting here thinking, is that about to happen? Are they getting ready to just run away? All this hard work we've put in, I think we're 4-1 at that point. We're still in the hunt for the East, even though we had lost to Florida. It was the SEC, anything could happen. And I just was kind of dumbfounded. I was like, this really stinks. But we hadn't – it's not that we had had – they had been really beating us bad on offense. I mean – we were doing okay, just when we weren't finishing. And then we ended up going out there. We just kind of kept at it. I mean, there wasn't this overwhelming sense of dread. It's like, man, we really got to just get to work. We've got to just keep doing the little things right, and we're going to score. And then we did. We ended up scoring, I think, with like a minute or a little bit less than a minute to go in the half to make it 24-14 going into the half.
Well, I had misremembered this. I thought in my mind, boy, that block punt for a touchdown Antonio Wardlow scored, that put Tennessee ahead. That's not true. It extended the lead to 38-27. So Tennessee had already rallied to take the lead. And the other part of this equation I forgot, after that touchdown, Georgia ran the kickoff back for a touchdown. So there wasn't a whole lot of time to rest to think, hey, we got this one. And that occurred the fourth quarter, both of those plays.
Yeah, I think we ended up putting quite a few points on the board in the fourth quarter. But, the thing about that game that really sticks. Yeah, I mean, that's and you know what? it was a team effort, because at halftime, I never heard a chewing like this. The defense got tore into so bad, and boy, oh boy, did they respond. And it wasn't, they went back out and they started, making stops, getting turnovers. Special teams stepped up big time, obviously with the Wardlow block punt for a touchdown. But when you go back and you start looking at some of the kickoff returns, some of the punt returns, I mean, the return game was there. Things just started falling into place. And, I mean, obviously it ended up, we walked out of there with a 51-point win or score to win the game. And it just that game to me, there's so many awesome memories from that night. It was a cool, crisp autumn night. You felt great. But it was like, it was the quintessential Maxim game of, if the gamer breaks, go against you, don't let up, put on more steam. And that's just kind of what we did. We just kept at it, kept going. The offense wasn't big and flashy. We had some decent pass plays in there. There was a lot of underneath stuff. And we just, kept grinding and scoring points. The defense was making plays. And that's what contributed to such a big win.
Do you remember being in a game before where you were down, Tennessee or in high school, where you were down like that, and then you just had this avalanche of momentum that carried you to such a win, which in this case was 51-33?
I would probably say the LSU game from the year before down in Baton Rouge. It was kind of a late rally there. I mean, it was another huge fourth quarter there performance to go into overtime and ultimately win the game. But it was, a little bit like this. This, though, just kind of had that slow building crescendo that just things kept going right and we kept making the right plays. Whether it's that game was kind of more of just like a big spark there, I think, late in the fourth quarter. But similar.
It really, of course, used to be a big, big deal. Still an okay deal, but the victory put Tennessee on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And, back when newsstands and magazines used to be a much bigger thing, I'm just wondering, what was it like to see that performance result in what was a national spotlight?
Oh, that was one of the neatest things. I still have that copy of that Sports Illustrated. I think that cover is forever linked to that game. And, I mean, we, at that point in time, you go to 5-1, you're in the hunt. I mean, we're ranked. I mean, we're that game against Georgia, I think they were 10 and we were maybe 13. It was two top 15 teams. I mean, we were moving up the rankings and we were kind of back. And I think there's a picture inside in the story about us of one of the touchdowns. I'm in there and I always thought that was kind of neat. Like, man, I'm in Sports Illustrated. How cool is that? I don't know if that's the same kind of neat thing for kids today, but it was for me, and I still have a copy of it. And I hope I always do. It's I probably need to get the thing framed.
You guys had lost to Florida, and so you were 4-1 going into that game. Yep. Georgia had not lost, and it was after that game. I mean, you guys started what was 4 losses in 5 games for the Bulldogs, and I know you just hate to see that, right?
that's such a shame. For them, they're the defending SEC champion. I mean, that was a huge deal, and then for them to kind of, I guess that, Georgia's always been a strong football team and a tough one to overcome. But, it helps us because we get a lot of good players out of Georgia. And when we're the better team, more of them seem to want to come to us.
David, one of the really outstanding performances for Tennessee that game, Arian Foster. He didn't have a lot of yards. He had 63, but he scored 3 touchdowns. Just talk about how good of a running back you think he was.
Yeah, I think Arian saw the field really well. He had really great endurance, so he could run at a high level, and he just never seemed to get tired. And you could see that in the summer and spring workouts. I mean, the guy was always there at the front, kind of a deceptive stride there with speed. That long stride didn't maybe look like he was going as fast as he was, but I think that. He was able to catch the football. He's a bigger body. Could be harder to bring down, but just that smooth glide and could see the field and make, hey, there, that's where I need to go and get those extra yards. and it may not be a lot, like you said, it wasn't a lot of yards, but they were crucial, and he knew where to get it in there. And, you know, if you go back, and I think some of the things he got knocked for with fumbles is, well, in this game, he sticks the ball out and he gets in there right before the half, giving us, you know, 7 points. You know, nobody talks about that. So, you know, but you live and die with that.
Also, Eric Ainge, he had a really good freshman year, not so good at his sophomore year, but his junior year with David Cutcliffe, he came back and played extremely well. Just talk about the turnaround for Eric Ainge.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was obvious. Obviously, you guys all saw the way he played on the field, and he was a very different football player. He still was a very gifted quarterback. I mean, you know, you go back and you look at his freshman year and some of the throws he makes with outset feet. I mean, the guy has an arm, he had a cannon. And Coach Cutcliffe just took that and broke him back down. And, I mean, you can see the change in how he dressed. And that's attributed to Coach Cutcliffe. And I think you could see him develop as a person, becoming a leader. I think he really enjoyed becoming a student of the game. Being led by Coach Cutcliffe, because he's such a sharp, sharp football mind and makes it so interesting. And I just always loved hearing him talk about football. And I think Eric really, really dug that and bought in. That was the key. He said, I'm going to be coachable because I want to be a good player. And Coach Cutcliffe, you know, took that talent that he had and you know, molded him into a great player, just like he's done with so many other quarterbacks.
You've already mentioned a couple of times, David, what it was like to get more than 50 points on the board in that game. You and Jimmy, of course, talked about it, just the incredible turn, you know, tale of two games, down big and then come back to win big. The thing I remember most and what I enjoyed so much about dealing with, working with David Cutcliffe, you could just tell when he was pleased. And I'll never forget, if I had had a $5 bill for every time he mentioned in the media availability after the win in Athens, we hung half a hundred on the Bulldogs, I would have had at least $25. But I'm just wondering, what was it like to play for Coach Cut and to see those instances where game plans paid off to the point you could just tell he was genuinely pleased with how everything played out?
Oh, I mean, that to me as well, saying, hey, we scored 51 points in Sanford Stadium against a good Georgia football team. At that time, I think it was the most points ever scored against them in that stadium. I think it's since been broken, unfortunately, but I'd like to still hold the record. But one of the special memories I hold, just in general, my playing career as well, as it came from this game. It was after the game, in the tunnel, you know, in shower, getting ready to get on the bus. You know, one of the things I always saw growing up watching SEC football, you know, when there's a big upset at Sanford Stadium, the other team would go rip chunks out of the hedges. You know, you're playing between the famous hedges. I'm going to get a piece of it. And I got an opportunity to do that in 2004, and I got an opportunity to do it my senior year in 2006. I remember getting a huge chunk, and I shared some of that with my left tackle, Aaron Sears, and I shared the other piece of that with Coach Cutcliffe there in the tunnel, and I think he really appreciated it. It was kind of a neat little souvenir maybe that we shouldn't have done, but we did. And I always thought it was a tradition in college football, and I still have that piece. It's dried out. It looks great. The leaves are still on it. And either it's in my office somewhere at the house, or maybe at my parents' house. But it's with the ticket that they had from the game. And it's just a special memory that I will, you know, always hold on to, getting a big hug from him and, you know, allowing him to maybe have that, go put in a shadow box somewhere in his house to remember that win.
David, who are some of your Tennessee teammates that you keep tabs with to this day?
You know, you see guys around town. I mean, as we get older, you know, there's more and more guys. You know, I run into Eric on the occasion, and, you know, it's just, you never know. I mean, sometimes you'll see, you know, guys that, were your class or older. I mean, it's, oh gosh, just a little bit here and there across the board. I mean, some of my old offensive line, like it's been a couple of years since I've seen McNeil, but I think at one point he was around here, and, you know, I've seen Richie Gandy around town on the occasion. It's always good to see those guys and catch up. Obviously, we still have events. And, you know, one of the neat things about, you know, playing at a place like Tennessee that I've enjoyed is getting to know some of the guys that, you know, are older and younger than you too. Particularly the ones that are older, because of the coaching continuity that we had has always been pretty special, because they even though they played, you know, 10, 15, you know, years or 5 years before you, a lot of those experiences are the same. You know, I mean, Coach Cutcliffe and Coach Chavis and Coach Fulmer, I mean, they didn't really change a lot of the things they did. So we can, even though we didn't experience it together, we can kind of commiserate of morning runs or things like that. So I've enjoyed that and that fraternity. And it doesn't matter if, you know, someone played 10 years after you or before you, you know, you're all, you, it's like you all played together, and that's been really special.
And, David, you, of course, would go on to be a part of Vol Network coverage. You did high school football with me. I was blessed with that for many years. And, of course, a big part of Saturday Sports Talk. How much did you enjoy that aspect of still staying connected and just giving your thoughts on Tennessee and college football?
I really enjoyed that. That was, you know, there was a few years there, John, where it was, I had busy weekends. I mean, I may have worked more on the weekends than I did during the week. But you know, there was it I can't remember the year, maybe 2009, 10 or something. We had a game against in Columbia, a playoff game with Catholic. That was a late start, and I think by the time I got home, I just stayed up for another hour and then joined old Josh in the studio at 6 a.m. for Saturday Sports Talk. So I didn't go to bed that night, but it was fun. I miss it. Obviously my time is very valuable now with the four little ones, and get pulled in a lot of directions with that. But, you know, I always do enjoy having the opportunity to do the occasional, you know, spot. I know, you know, Pennington's always, he's always calling me and like, when are you going to come back? I'm like, oh gosh, it's, I'd love to go do some shows with him and with you guys. It's just, unfortunately, you know, the little kids, they're kind of demanding.
Well, and of course, your wife Jamie is an LVFL, and so Lady Vol for life. And I just wonder if you guys received any scholarship offers for the younger Lincoln Jet.
Oh no, not yet. We gotta get them, I guess, in organized sports at some point. We haven't done that yet. But there's some. I think there's some potential there. We've got a few that they've shown some athletic ability. So we'll see.
Hey, David, thank you so much for your time today. Hope everyone continues to be safe and sound, and can't wait to this fall when we get to pick games with you on a Friday.
Oh, sounds great. Look forward to it. Thanks, John and Jimmy.
Thanks, Dave.
All right. Thank you. David Ligon, Vol for Life, great guy. We appreciate him joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.